Thank you, Tom. Good morning. My name is Ed Keller, and today we're going to talk about infinite natural energy. You might think that's a unique title, but bear with me, and we're going to build a foundation for that. The last 35 or 40 years, I've had a great career being a research and development as an electrical engineer. And the reason I'm telling you that, that's a little bit of bearing with how I'm going to be talking today and do that. It's been a very, very neat career as an electrical engineer. And as engineers, we have a tendency to kind of geek things up just a little bit. You know, we can make things more complicated than it needs to be. This is an example of that. But you know, when God created man and salvation, it's not that complicated. It's actually really, really simple. It's as simple as a simple equation. And these numbers add up to 7 because 7 in the Bible shows completeness as a final total complete the thing that God has come with and done. But salvation is actually really simple. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Help, thanks, and wow. It can be actually that really simple as 1, 2, 3. But now let's build a foundation. I want to talk to you a little bit about the last part of this thing called energy. Energy is actually in this volume, if you can imagine it, right here. And it's here. You can't see it, but I can show you some effects of it. It's also all in the church right here. We have just lots and lots of energy. And for example, we have a cell phone. And in this volume sphere right here, we have hundreds of cell phone conversations going on right now. We have thousands of text messages going on. And I'm sure everyone that's here or that's watching either has a cell phone or knows someone has a cell phone or has someone use it. So I'm not going to show you how to use it. You know that part works. But also, in the same volume, there's a lot of other energy there. We have communication satellites coming down. We have our first responders, the EMTs and the medics. We have our warriors during battle overseas. It can be picked up with the right receivers. It's right here. And even communications from the International Space Station, all right here. Again, you can't see it, but you can see the results of that. So one thing I want to show you, this is another example of walkie-talkie. This is the ones we use at the church. Our deputy has one. Our security team carries them. The people in the park let you see them. But you know, this is another example of walkie-talkie and how the energy is there in that same volume. And if anyone is listening on the walkie-talkie, I'll just show you a simple use of that. But this will be live. We'll see if it works. Radio check. This is Ed in the sanctuary. How do you read?
You are loud and clear this beautiful morning.
There we go. So there's a simple example of the energy that's there. But you know, not only is just the technology there, God also has energy that's right there. That energy is Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So I want you to remember this example about the energy because I'm going to be going back to that. As an engineer, I do a lot of math. And when we do a lot of math and repeat numbers, we have symbols for those. And one of these symbols we have is infinity. And infinity is not a number like 10 or 100 or 1,000 or a million or a trillion. Infinity just keeps on and keeps on going. It's just something that's just way, way out there. And if we stick a negative sign on the side of it, then that's even further than that. So I'm going to play like this is a timeline right here. But before the beginning, before creation, there was God. God is. Before that, before there's a thing called time. Time actually did not exist. It's just a continuum, everything. At that particular point, God is. And then yesterday and all the yesterdays before that, God is. And then we keep on going down the timeline. And today, God is, you know, right now. And then tomorrow and tomorrow and the days after tomorrow, God is. And you see the infinity with a plus sign. So that's like forever and ever back in the past and forever and ever in the future. You know, that's how massive and how big the number infinity is. It just keeps on going. This next picture, this is actual photograph taken from the Hubble telescope. And that's billions and billions of stars. And some of these bright objects there could be even more than a star, but a cluster of stars and even solar systems and galaxies. A little bit of engineering math for you here. The closest star to Earth is 4.5 light years away. Now, light years, how fast light travels in a year. So just doing some real simple math, 4.5 light years on as fast as light travels. So the closest star is around 30 trillion miles away from Earth. 30 trillion, that's 30 and a lot of zeros in that. That's the closest star, and there's many, 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 many more stars and galaxies out there. Just billions of stars out there. But you know, in the beginning, God created, the Creator created. And that's what we want to talk about. God created the heavens and the earth, as Tom read, and God said it was good. And then God created, and the story of creation is in the good book. You can read it in the Bible. It'll take about 15 minutes to read that. In that process of creation, he also created man and woman. Or created men and women and all living creatures on earth. And God said, this is good. And God gave them one rule, and man messed up. Just one rule, and man messed up. And after generations, and Adam and Eve, and their kids, and great-grandkids, they kept messing up again. They missed what God created man for, was communications with him, to have that relationship. Just totally missed it, and trying to make it a whole lot more complicated. And so God decided to destroy all of mankind and get rid of everybody on the face of earth and kind of start over, except for one family, and that was the family of Noah. Noah had that relationship with God. Noah had that communication, that understanding, that respect, and the love and respect for God. And as Noah's family and kids and grandkids and great-grandkids again started, populating the earth, they tried to make it more complicated. Maybe they were engineers back then, but more and more complicated. So God gave them, instead of the one rule that man messed up, he gave them 10 rules. You might know it as the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not, ... You can read those. It's in the good book, another 15-minute reading. We know what those are. And as Moses was coming down from the mountain with the actual 10 commandments, the people they was coming back down to had already forgotten what their relationship to God was supposed to be, and they were starting to worship other images before God. So as time went on and on with that, man kept messing up again and trying to make it more complicated. So we had the one rule they messed up, then we had the 10 rules of the 10 commandments, and according to the Torah, there was another 613 rules added at that time. A different way, man was trying to be good by following rules and do things to get to God versus just the relationship that God created us for. So man messed up. So I picture heaven as a very dynamic environment. I picture God, Jesus, I picture Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of stories in the Bible about the angels. We have the head angels, Michael and Gabriel, and we have a lot of angels that also. And, besides praising God and worshiping God, these angels, they're warriors. They're legions and legions of warriors that are up there. There's a lot of stories in the Bible where the angels have come to earth and do messages to men, trying to communicate with them. There's even some stories where the angels have come down and fought with the devil's angels here on earth. I believe these angels still are in uniform today doing work for us. Actually, as we have legions of angels, I pray a hedge of protection around our warriors and my son when he gets deployed. And I just envision tens of thousands of the best surrounding the best of the best as they go out and do their missions. So that's a very dynamic relationship. And I pictured, here's the communication I think might could have happened between God and his son, if you can allow me to do that. Son, I need you to do something for me that's going to be very hard. Yes, Father? Your son, you know I love you very much. Yes, Father, and I love you very much. I need you to go to earth, and I need you to go live with men for a while. And by example, show them the love that I have for man and the love that you have for me and the relationship we have and how simple it is just to communicate. It doesn't have to be complicated. I need you to go do that. Yes, Father. Well, the good book, the Bible, says that Jesus was on earth for about 33 years. And also it says that Jesus quit his day job at about age 30 and wanted to spend the full time explaining to man and showing man by example how to live and how to communicate with God and how to listen to God and how to have a fellowship with God. And then, what did man do? Man messed up. Man killed God's son. You know? But the good news is it doesn't stop right there. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible records that hundreds of people saw Jesus, talked to Jesus, listened to him. And then Jesus was gone. Jesus went to heaven and to be with his Father. But you know what? That energy I was telling you about, God left us with an energy, a capability to communicate and listen to him and to talk to him in fellowship. That is called that sphere again, called Holy Spirit. Now this picture is not a photograph, it's an artist's rendition of, I got from Pastor Philip, thank you. To me, it's in my mind, it's what Holy Spirit could really be like. It's something that's, if this is an animated picture, something that's just constantly changing. There's no beginning. There is no end. It's like a constant energy source. And that's, Holy Spirit is part of the communication that we can have and we can listen to God and help us with a discernment of what God wants us to do. Kind of our conscience, that inner voice, and teaching us right from wrong. You know, part of the thing we're talking about today is volunteers. If God or the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I'd really like to help this homeless person, but I don't know how to do that. Well, our church supports groups that help homeless people. So you can come to church and you can help out as a volunteer with that. There's a lot of different activities with the volunteers that we have at the church. We created a handout that a lot of you got as you came in, and when you leave, you can pick another one up of the different things you can volunteer for to help out. If you hear a little inner voice or nudging saying, you know, I really would like to maybe help out at the church, you can look at the pews in front of you. There'll be an upper room. There'll be a volunteer flyer there about how to work as a Stephen minister, which a training is going right now. And then we gave the handouts on other different volunteers. I did a poll about a month ago to see how many volunteers we have on a Sunday, you know, behind us for the services and stuff. And I was surprised. I was thinking 40, 50 different, you know, people volunteering. But actually, we have over 160 people every single Sunday being the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. That is so important, guys, because we are the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. So as you look at this list, there might be too small print to look at, but there's a lot of different volunteers. Charlie is a volunteer. Our choir you heard today, the praise and worship team, all volunteers. There are a lot of ways to help. And if, you know, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or sing in the choir and you say, no, I don't really want to do that. I can't do this or I can't do that. Well, there's something you can do. God has given each and every one of you a talent, something you can do. And the sum of a lot of different things can be something very big. And each one of you are part of that system, that part of the overall goal to build up, to have the communications with God and show the love and respect to God that he created us for. But you know, if you don't want to do a volunteer, if you don't want to send out the cards that the church sends, It's one simple thing you can do. You can smile. You know, when you go out to the leave church today, look at someone and just smile. And if they smile back, you might want to say, have a good day. If you go to the grocery store, most people have the name tags on. Go to Publix, you can say, hey, TJ, how's your day been today? And he'll probably look up and say, oh, come and talk to me. Ah, it's been pretty good. Thank you very much. And he'll go back and be busy doing that. But you can at least smile. That's just one thing we can do. Remember, you are the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. This is an actual photograph from the Hubble telescope. Again, just showing the vastness and the beauty of the heavens and that God has created. And go to the next one. Again, galaxy, it looks like maybe the hurricane we saw on the news last week. This is actually many, many, many billions of different stars, part of God's creation and what God has done. Now let's get back to the big picture, the system idea. Remember, God created us to have communications and fellowship with him. God wants us to show love and kindness towards each other. A smile is showing the love of Jesus. It's a minimum thing that you can do. No matter what you've done in the past, God will forgive you if you ask him to. But you know, there is one sin that God will not forgive you for. One sin. And that is the rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the one sin God will not forgive you for. But as long as you're breathing, you have, I don't know where the microphone is, but as long as you're breathing, you have a choice. I picture our body like in maybe two categories. We have the body here, as long as the heart is, the thumper is going, the heart is pumping. You know, we have the ability to think and talk and do things, but then at some point in time, our body will die. But our energy, our spirit, our DNA soul lives forever and ever and ever. Remember infinity, forever and ever, ever. And as long as you're breathing, you have the choice to make that decision of where that soul, of where your essence will be spent. Whether it be in the presence of God, and I picture like a cool mountain stream, you know, sitting there, you know, and butterflies and birds in the background and children, whatever you want to picture. But also the Bible has some examples of if you don't accept Christ. You know, indecision is the same as no decision. So it's very important as long as you are breathing to make that decision. But again, it's not complicated. It's real simple. Again, it's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Help, thanks, wow. Number one, help. God help me, I've messed up again. Number two, thank you for giving me for all of my sins through the death and resurrection of your son. Amen. It's really that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. So remember, the Holy Spirit and the volume and the energy volume, it's extremely important. That communication, God created us for that. But again, he didn't create us as puppies. We all have choices. We have choices we can make while we're here on earth. You are, each one of you, a very critical part of the end goal where what God created us for. And you are the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. So it's important for you to do something with that. And in closing, as we're singing our last song, I'm going to give you a couple of choices. You can make a decision now. While you're standing and singing, you can do the simple thing is, God help me. I accept Christ. We come to my life. If you want, you can also come down to the front while we're singing. One of us can pray with you. Or outside the door after the service, the prayer room will be open and there'll be volunteers in there that can pray with you also. So it's real simple. 1, 2, 3. God help me. I've messed up. God, thank you for all that you've done for me. And thank you for forgiving me for all of my sins and forgetting all of my sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So we can stand if we turn to the last song. This is The Old Rugged Cross, hymn number 504. And Mr. Charlie.
We're going to sing the first and the last stanza. If we need more, we'll add more in. Mary Jo's putting the air on the organ over there.
And close. Father, we thank you that all we have to do is reach up and hold your hand and walk with you. We thank you that you have given us choices, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We thank you for all that you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.